A young lady has lost her father. He's recently passed. But there was something about her father over the years. She had noticed and been told about a change in him. And so he had asked his daughter on his passing if he would go and find the one individual that had the greatest impact in his life for that change. The gentleman was a veteran. From the video, I can't be sure, but I think it was probably Vietnam. And he was a prisoner of war. And he'd been beaten brutally by his captors. And yet there was an individual in that time that just totally changed his life. You see, before going into the service, apparently he was an angry, bitter man. But when he came back, he was different. And so to honor her father's request, she went to I assume, Vietnam, in search of this one individual. And the video shows this individual as an elderly lady who was probably a teenager at the time these events took place. And she asked, the daughter asked the woman, what had she done? What had she said to her father that had such a great impact on him? And the lady just stared at her. And then she pulled out this picture. And she laid it down in front of her. And it was in that moment that all these memories that this video begins to share with us come flooding back of this man being beaten. And he's laying face down in the dusty dirt. And he looks over and he sees this young lady, and he begins to just at with every being, every ounce of energy that's in him, he begins to just say, "Help. Help. Help." And the young lady just sits there and stares at him. Later on, I don't know whether it was days or weeks, she found him in his cell. Again, a beaten man. And she reaches out to him as he's again just begging for someone to help. And she reaches over and his hand is up like this, just laying flat on the ground. And she comes and she gently lays her hand on top of his. Flat like that. And all of a sudden, this man's hand begins to grasp hers. And they begin to lock. And while all of that's going on in the background is scenes of this man in later in life, a man who began to care for people, who began to give food, give whatever they needed. But the picture was this. He wasn't saying anything to those individuals. Just as he handed them whatever the gift was, he would make sure that he touched their hands. And it finally flashes back to this young lady as she's looking across and tears streaming down her face. And she says this in total shock, "You mean you didn't say anything to him?" And it registered. She'd said a lot. but she never spoke a word. The message was in the touch. A simple touch. And compassion was communicated. Let's pray. Abba, Father, we long for a touch. We long for a touch from our parents. Father, as we grew up, we longed for those moments when we could be with Mom and just feel that warm embrace that she would give us as children. And Father, in my own case, when I was so concerned about an undiagnosed health condition, I longed, yes, to hear my mom's voice, but to feel her touch and let her know that I would know that she was there and that she cared. And yet, Father, many of us in our spiritual lives are walking around and we're desperate. We're desperate for the touch of Christ. And may we as the church understand that we are the means by which you reach out. And that you touch the lives of those in need. Father, thank you for your Son that makes that touch mean everything. Thank you for your Son because it changed everything. And so, Father, today, would you open our hearts that we may feel your touch this morning? But Father, may we grasp the understanding that you have called us to be, as the church, your hands and your feet that go out into the world and touch lives for you. So Father, we invite you, please come and share with us. In Jesus' name, amen. A simple touch. That's all it was. A simple touch. You've heard me quote St. Francis of Assisi before. A famous line that's attributed to him that says, "Preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words." Preach the gospel at all times. That's our call. That's our mandate from Jesus Christ, to take his gospel to the world. You see, as the church, we are defined in Scripture as the body of Christ. And as the body of Christ, by default, guess what? We have feet and we have hands. And we're equipped with those things specifically to be able to take the message of Jesus Christ to the world. We're given feet because look at Scripture. How many... they came flooding to Jesus in the streets, but Jesus went out. He walked among the people. He didn't wait for them to come to him. He was traveling and they had to chase him down because he was on the go. He was taking his message to the people. And as the feet of the body of Christ, we too need to recognize that we're not supposed to be standing still. We're not supposed to wait for the people to come to us. We are supposed to get on our feet and we are supposed to go out and take the gospel to the world. That's our mandate. And we can wrap it up in all other kinds of words, but Jesus said it first, and he said it best. Go into the world and preach the gospel. Doesn't get any plainer than that. So as the feet of Christ, we need to be going out, and we need to be speaking. But there's more to St. Francis's message, and it's his emphasis not on just taking the message, but how we take that message. You see, because what he said was, when necessary, use words. For me, the implication is that there's a powerful way of sharing the gospel message without using words. It's nonverbal. It's in the touch. It's in a simple touch. A heart that's hurting doesn't need to hear platitudes like it's God's will. It may have been God's will, but he doesn't need to hear that. What he needs to feel is the compassion of a loving Savior. And the way he feels that, or she feels that, is through the touch of one who knows the Master. You see, we can use all kinds of words, and we can make them sound great. But it doesn't express necessarily our heart. But how we touch people, how we physically touch people, gives a message. I mean, if I was to walk up to somebody and just that's having a hard time, and I just haul off and punch them in the shoulder, not tap them, and say, you know, buck up, it's okay, which doesn't help either. But I just hit them on the shoulder as hard as I can. What's the message they're going to get? I haven't said a word, but they got a message, didn't they? But if I walk up to that same person and I don't say a word, but I just put my arm around them and I hold on to them for a while. And I let them cry if they need to cry. And I don't say a word, but I don't take my touch away. Have I conveyed a message? And that individual knows that message. This person cares about what I'm going through. They may not know how to express it in words, but their touch and their heart is speaking volumes. I think sometimes we're so afraid to go out and share the gospel because we think we need to know this. And we do need to know this. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying don't know this. Any of you that have been around me for the last 10 years know I don't believe that we shouldn't know this. We should be eating this up. But we think that if we don't know this well enough, then we can't go out and we can't share Christ. How many of you here, and I'm not going to, but I want you to answer this for yourself. Don't raise a hand. Please do not raise a hand. How many of you here can honestly say you have felt the touch of the loving Savior? Now I want you to think about how you felt that touch. Because oftentimes that touch isn't just spiritually. It began with a physical touch from somebody. Somebody who had already been touched by Jesus comes up to you and they hug you. Or they just grab your hand and give you a light squeeze. And you felt the spiritual touch of the Savior through the one that the Savior has placed in your path. For many of us, the very first time we were touched by the Savior was by our mothers. That's not true of all of us, but for many of us, the very first time we honestly felt the touch of the Savior, it was a hug from Mom. Or it was a cuddle, just sitting there and cuddling. And we began to feel what love truly is. You see, we can communicate real truth by being the hands and feet of Jesus, merely by going out, being present, and touching people, especially people in need. Remember that gentleman that I described? Never said a word, but as he handed them their gift, he always touched their hands. And he conveyed a message to them in maybe a more powerful way than his words ever could have. Margaret Atwood said this: touch comes before sight, before speech. It's the first language and the last, and it always tells the truth. Touch is essential to our lives, folks. It's essential for our newborns. Science has shown that it is important for the development of their physical, their emotional, their eventual social health, but I would also add their spiritual health. In fact, touch is the first of all of the senses that God has given us that we develop. The need for a positive touch, the connection and the reassurance it can bring is literally wired into our DNA. We need it. We long for it. An experiment from the 1950s impressively exhibits the importance of that physical touch in our lives. In his experiment, psychologist Harry Harlow used rhesus monkeys, monkey babies, in a cage. Say that again. Anybody know how to properly say it? Rhesus. Thank you. Rhesus monkey babies in a cage and left them alone for a little while without their parents or peers around. Once he took them out of the cage, he confronted them with two mothers in order for them to decide between one of the two. Both mothers were actually not monkeys, but objects. The first one was made of wire and was holding a bottle of milk. The second one consisted of a soft and fluffy material, but did not carry a bottle of milk. Which one do you think the baby monkeys chose? The soft, fluffy one. Not the one that offered food, but the soft, fluffy one. They would go over and they would cuddle with it. They'd get as close to it as they can. Because they needed that. They longed for that physical touch and that love that was communicated through that soft, cuddly surface. And interestingly enough, we're no different. Take a close look at this picture. We've all experienced that. This baby hasn't been taught how to reach out and touch. It's just instinctual to them. It's a need that needs to be filled. And so in particular, note that this baby has not been taught to touch. and yet grabs out and holds tightly its mother's finger. It naturally wanted and needed that connection. And folks, I want you to know that if that is true in our physical lives, how much more true of that is that of our spiritual lives, that we need to be connected and touching our Savior. And if that's true of us, then what does it say about those in the world that are struggling, that need to know the Savior? One of the greatest ways we can have an impact in this world is to connect them with Jesus Christ. And we do that by being the hands and the feet of Jesus, going out and touching lives, touching them physically and touching them spiritually. Scientific studies have shown that touch can be decoded as a form of nonverbal communication. I think sometimes for me, these are dumb moments. We had to do a scientific study to find out that there was nonverbal communication in touch. I love science, but science didn't have to tell me that. There's a communication going on between mother and child. Touch can communicate tenderness. It can communicate compassion, anger, love, gratitude, happiness, and fear within mere seconds. And if it's true, again, of our physical lives, it's much more true of our spiritual lives. That touch, being in the proximity and being touched by someone who is filled with God's Spirit, can make all the difference in the world, and there is communication that takes place. Have you ever wondered why God sent His Son as a baby? Surely He didn't have to send Him that way. I mean, He's God, right? He could have sent Him down as a full-grown man. Now, there's a whole lot of theological reasons that God did it the way He did it. Okay? So I don't want you to think that I'm making light of the way God did it. There's a whole theological reason that he had to be born in order to be able to pay the price. But here's what I see in part of that. He came as a little baby. Have you ever watched my wife with a little baby? She's sleeping, so I can talk about her. I'm talking about you. Thank you. It's just the natural instinct of most people when they see a little baby that they just want to pick them up and hold them. God sent His Son so that we could desire to be touched by Him and to touch Him. Folks, I want you to know that you can touch Jesus. It may not be that physical touch that we feel here, but there is a real touch that you can feel from your Savior. And so I believe that part of the reason God sent Jesus in the manner that He did was for that reason. Look what John writes in 1 John 14. So the Word became human and made His home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen His glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. And we see that word "see," but I want you to focus in on the word "love." Love, for me, and I would guess for most of you, is best expressed not in words, but in touch. And I'm not meaning necessarily in the sexual way, but there is a way that in which we touch one another that we know how we feel towards one another. We express love. through touch. I mean, I can look at somebody and tell them that they're a nice person and I like them and all of that, and at the same time, I'm squeezing their hand harder and harder and harder. Which message did they get? The true message. I'm angry. Something's not right. I can say all those words, but it's the message that they're getting is the one that is in touch. Jesus expressed his love many times through love. And he expresses his love to the lost through us and the way we touch other lives. In John 13, it's that famous passage of Jesus just before his death of washing the disciples' feet. And at the very end of that, he says, I've set for you an example. Now you go and do the same for one another. I picture Jesus washing those feet with great care. I don't think he just dunked them in the water and pulled out a towel and he dried them off. I think he took time with each disciple. He didn't rush through that process. And there was a message to his disciples coming through the touch of their Savior. One that says, I love you and I'm submitting myself to you. Because remember, the other part of that act was he lowered himself to the lowest position of a slave. But his touch said everything. Our need for physical touch is vital. Our need for spiritual touch is even more important. Paul says this in Romans 10, beginning in verse 14. How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? Feet, go forward. Preach the gospel. When necessary, use words. Touch lives. Be more focused on how you're touching those lives than whether you've got this word for word. Jesus said in 14:12, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Have you ever noticed what Jesus says about you? Jesus went out and did all of these miracles, and notice what he says. You're going to do greater works. And how? We can look through scripture after scripture after scripture, and we find that when Jesus was performing miracles and when he was caring for people, he did it through one primary means, and it wasn't the spoken word. He did a lot of that, but it was through touch. Think of the lame man. He reaches out and he says, rise up and walk. The story of a deaf man where he puts his fingers in his ears and he can hear. The story of the blind man. Then he makes mud out of his spit and then he places it on his eyes. It was through touch. Folks, we can do great works. But we need to understand that it's not through spoken word that we're going to largely accomplish that, but what we're going to, the way we're going to accomplish it has to be that we have to be the hands and feet of Jesus, and we have to go out and we have to physically touch lives so that our spirits can connect with their spirits and so that their spirit can connect with the Spirit of God. Four things very, very quickly that I want to tie physical touch, and it's important, to our spiritual lives. The first is frequent physical touch increases a person's physical well-being. Science has proven and studied over and over again that as we continue to be together and touch, we are able to help not only our physical health, but our emotional health and our spiritual health and our physiological health. Matthew 8, 1 through 4 says this: "When he came down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, a leper came to him and knelt down with him. 'Lord, if you will, you can make me clean.' And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him." There's that touch again, saying, "I will. Be clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them." You see, the touch of love and the touch of compassion can heal even the ugliest of sin. Why did I pick that passage? Yes, it's a miracle of physical healing. But Jesus wasn't afraid to go out and touch the worst of people. We all know the rules of leprosy in that time. They had to cover up, and anytime somebody came near them, they'd have to yell, "Unclean, unclean," so no one would come and touch them. And yet Jesus goes up to even the lowest, and he has compassion on him, and he shows that compassion through touch, and healing comes. We don't have that physical power to touch someone and have immediate healing. I just don't see that we have that today. But what we do have is the power of the Spirit in us, that if we will go and we begin to touch them with our spirit and begin to share with them, that healing can come and healing does come. Sometimes physically, more often than not, it's the spiritual soul. And once the spiritual soul is healed, it's amazing what the body that God has given us will do. We need to touch lives. But not for physical healing. We need to understand that what we're talking about is life and death eternally, and we can touch lives, and lives can be saved. The second thing, physical touch strengthens unity by building intimate relationships. When we touch someone appropriately with a handshake, a high five, or a pat on the back, we are sending a nonverbal message of cooperation and unity and support. Study was done by the director of a Greater Good Science Center, professor of psychology at the University of California, Berkeley. He studied the role of touch in the context of NBA basketball teams. And what he found was the teams that spend more time patting each other on the back and giving high fives and having that physical touch won more basketball games. And here's the reason. Because they became a community. They became intimately related with each other on that team. There was unity. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says this: "A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken." Coming together and just standing together, we find strength. We find strength in our spirit. We find strength in our dependency on God. the Apostle Paul reminds us in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, that we are to eagerly maintain the unity of spirit. We do that when we come together and we touch one another and encourage one another in the spirit. We become a team that can't easily be broken, and we can do great things for the Lord through that touch. Thirdly, physical touch promotes trust and security, as does spiritual touch. Neuroscientist Edmund Ross found that physical touch activates the brain's orbital frontal cortex, which is linked to feelings of reward and compassion. He contends that studies show that touch signals safety and trust, and it soothes. You ever been there? You ever been in that moment, as I described in my prayer, I have, when I was having that heart condition? There were two things that I wanted more than anything. I was scared. And I just needed the reassurance of the touch of my mom and the touch of my wife. My wife will tell you that for 6 months I scared her because I didn't want her out of my sight. I needed her touch. It was one of the things that was getting me through that difficult time. The third thing was spending time in the Psalms, because the Spirit began to touch me and reassure me. There was a time in the life of the three closest to Jesus that needed that same touch. They were on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Christ had been transformed. They'd seen that, and they saw Moses and Elijah, and they fell down in fear. And in Matthew 17, 6 and 7, it says this: when the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. Rise, have no fear. The touch of the Savior, the touch of followers of Jesus Christ, can push out all fear. The fourth thing: people who experience a great deal of physical contact are less violent. They're more receptive to what needs to be shared. It's been scientifically proven that children who do not experience enough love, physical affection, are more primed to violence once they reach adulthood. Neuropsychologist James W. Prescott determined that violence in society often correlates with a lack of cultural emphasis on maternal bonding, touching, feeling that love. When a child experiences loving touch, they learn to attach to others in a healthy way. As they grow, they are less likely to use touch in hurtful and aggressive ways. I think that in terms of the spiritual touch, it is less about violence and more about acceptance. Acceptance of where we are, acceptance of who Jesus is, and acceptance of where we can spend eternity. 1 Peter 4, 8 through 10 says, most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. For love covers a multitude of sins. Carefully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. And I want to challenge you that one of those gifts that each of us has been given is the gift of touch. A simple touch can make all the difference in the world. At this moment, I was about to play another video. I don't think it's going to play. It's okay. You've all heard the poem or the song, The Touch of the Master's Hand. About an old violin that had been put up for auction. And the strings are loose and a couple of the bow strings are broken. And the auctioneer holds it up and just asks, who'll give me $1? And then two. And he says, $2 going twice. Will anyone give $3? About that time, an old gentleman walks up the aisle. He takes the violin from the auctioneer, and he begins to tighten up the strings and tune it. And then he pulls the bow across the string, and he begins to play the most beautiful melody any of those in that room had ever heard. And then the auctioneer went back. Now what will you bid? 1,000? 2,000? 3? 3 going twice. Will anybody pay more? The value of that one instrument changed in the moment because of a simple touch. The touch of the Master's hand. Folks, I need us to understand. I want us to understand. I need me to understand that for the world out there right now, I'm the hand that Jesus is using to go out and to touch lives. In that sense, we are the Master's hand. And the touch of the Master's hand can change everything. Just a simple touch. Will you pray with me? Abba, Father, help us to be your feet. Feet that will go forward from this place and recognize that our role of sharing the gospel is not limited to the inside of the walls of this building or any other building. But the reality is that you have called us to go, and in our journey, as we walk, to be your feet, to take the gospel of salvation to the world. And Father, to understand that you have asked us to be your hands in serving this world, to reach out and to touch lives in whatever way we can, to share your message. Father, maybe it's a handshake. Maybe it's a pat on the back. Maybe it's a hug from the side. Or Father, maybe it's just grabbing a hold of someone and just wrapping our arms around them as is described of the Father welcoming his son home. Because Father, it's in that message that we share that they are valuable. Valuable not only to us, but valuable more importantly to you as your children. So Father, give us the ability to be your hands and your feet in this community. Because there are lives, Father, in this community that need you. And we need to understand. And we need to be willing to give that touch. And to understand that the power in that touch is not our power, but it is yours. And that through the touch of the Master's hand, lives can be forever changed. So, Father, give us your heart. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.